Welcome to One Hit Wonderful, the podcast where we're reviewing all of those amazing reality shows that unfortunately only had one season. I'm your host, Frank Pezenek III.
And I'm Meredith Brodbeck.
And join us today as we begin our journey back into the Bravoverse. We're going to be covering Princesses Long Island, a real treat from 2013.
Yeah. Episode one, you had me at Shalom.
Yes, you had me at Shalom. And I realized when watching this, I definitely did not watch this the first time around. So this is going to be a new viewing for me. Either that or I have total amnesia and don't remember any of it. But based on the first episode, I'm going to say there's no way I would have forgotten all of this.
Yeah, it starts with a bang.
It does start with a bang.
Yeah, I was excited about it. And so this came out the first week of June in 2013. So I assume it was filmed the summer before. In 2012.
Oh, yeah.
Because
well, the weird thing is on the IMDb, usually they list the dates of episodes, and this does not. It just says June 2013, and then the later episodes are July 2013, but there's no date.
I saw it on Wikipedia, I think.
Oh, okay, because IMDb does not.
Okay. I think it was like June 2nd was 2013 was the premiere or something like that.
Yeah, so it was for sure filmed in 2012.
Yeah, because also just at the point that they are in the summer in this episode, it wouldn't make sense if it was filmed in like the month before, because they keep talking about how hot it is and they're having pool parties, and that just doesn't feel accurate to May on Long Island. But
no, and I'm assuming at some point we'll get some reference to like 4th of July or some kind of summer holiday, I would think, and we'll have a better idea.
Yes. And as we said when we finished Secrets and Sisterhood, we will never do a show where we don't profile cast members again. That was my bad. And we were thinking because it was a more modern show that they would be active on social media and it would be like easy to find things about them. So epic mistake. So I will be profiling cast members of this show, but I'm not going to do that just in our premiere episode because we're already getting a lot of background about these ladies. We also have 10 episodes and only 6 princesses. So we've got time to cover them, but we will be. But we have some reality TV production, what's the word I'm looking for? Experts, gold stars, just some wonderful executive producers. We've got some amazing credits in the production cast of the show.
Oh, wow. I didn't even notice that. I'm going to have to pay attention next time.
So, well, I looked them up. Like, I recognize some names, but I clicked around and looked them up. So one of the producers who worked on the show also worked on Tabitha Takes Over.
Oh.
Millionaire Matchmaker.
Okay.
Bethany Ever After and Pregnant in Heels. Which I didn't watch, but
no, I didn't watch that one either.
Another producer worked on Real Housewives of Atlanta for a long time and Shaws of Sunset.
Oh.
And then yet another producer also worked on Shaws of Sunset and still works on, I believe, Family Karma.
Nice.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is from the early days of Bravo where I'm sure a lot of the producers worked multiple of those early shows. I feel like it's not like now where every show has its own production team.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was saying to Frank before we started recording, for me, this is up in the Gallery Girls, NYC Prep, like that caliber of Bravo show where I'm really sad it didn't get more seasons. And I wonder what about some of these shows Bravo decided to axe them after one season. I would love to know. Someday we have to sit down with like a Bravo executive and ask them.
I wonder if the ratings just weren't good. I mean, it was airing in the summer. This was before streaming was a thing. So unless people were like TiVoing it to watch it. So it probably just wasn't good ratings. I'm sure if it was on now, like on Peacock the next day, things like that, it probably would have gotten renewed.
That's true. Or they would like, Bravo does a lot of sneaky crossover now too. So maybe they would show up at a summer house party or whatever and they would bring them in. You know what? They love doing that.
Yeah,
like
they
the
do.
Segue to the Valley.
Ugh. I still haven't watched that yet. I'm going to watch it later tonight, I think.
I did watch it. I didn't hate it. I was judging myself the whole time.
I didn't want to give them the views. And I looked at it. I feel like you... I don't know where I read this. I've been Googling and Googling and Googling, and I can't find anything about it. But I feel like somewhere in my brain, I had heard that if you wait a week, then it doesn't count towards the ratings. Like if you've streamed it, like they don't get credit for it. So I was going to wait a week, but I'm seeing like one of my favorite clients is coming in tomorrow and she is also a Bravo head. And we were texting and she told me that I am required to have watched it by the time I see her tomorrow. And she also said, she said other than Jax and Brittany, that she really enjoyed it. So
I would agree. I would just say that I think what's interesting about Jax and Brittany is the reverse detective stuff that's happening. Like the way that they talk to each other and how mad they seem at one another, it's making me think that their separation is real and not for promo. But he basically comes into the show with the exact same energy that he left Vanderpump with. Like he's super aggro and
hot. Oh, well, I did watch, I have watched the Vanderpump after show that he was on and yes, he had the same energy. Like it was gross and annoying.
Yeah, and it was like a little bit scary, you know? Like quit screaming that you've evolved. You clearly haven't.
Yeah, no.
Anyway, back to our princesses.
Yes.
So we have some producer royalty in the mix, but other than that, I think I'll also be doing some profiles and deep dives of some of these towns that the ladies live in. They're not all from the same spots on Long Island, and they do sort of, they identify that a little bit throughout this episode, but I think we might want to be looking some stuff up as we go and some of the locations they go to and things like that. So,
yeah, on this one, unfortunately, they didn't the two places that they actually show the signs of, I looked up, so I know where those are.
Okay, great. So the episode begins and we get this sort of like voiceover about a Yiddish proverb, right? And I actually didn't write it down because I thought I would remember it. And now that's proving to be incorrect. But it's something about how like an older wife is one you'll have forever. Is that what it was? Something like that?
I do not know what you're talking about. So I missed that completely.
Well, it was a proverb, a Yiddish proverb about sort of being like an older wife and how it was like beneficial. Like it's a wife you'll keep forever or it's a wife you'll cherish or something like that. But it sets up the premise for the show that all these 20-somethings, late 20-somethings, are dying to be married. And a lot of their parents are putting pressure on them to get married. That's the premise of the show.
I think I was probably too distracted by Chanel's headband situation to pay attention to what was happening.
And she will not be the only fender on the headband.
No. In fact, I think they should rename the show and just call it Headbands Long Island. Because based on the like upcoming scenes from the season and just what I've seen in the show, like these motherfuckers love some headbands.
And let's explain too, we don't mean like a preppy over like ear to ear headband. We mean like Janis Joplin across the forehead.
Like a shoestring size.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, and don't worry, kids. I have pictures. So please be checking our Instagram the Monday after this episode drops. I will have evidence of the headbands.
Yes. So the first princess that we meet is Chanel. She is 27 years old. So she is at home with her family, her mom, Donna, her dad, Sam, her younger sister, Ashley, and Ashley's fiance, Danny. So Chanel is 27, her sister is 24, but her sister is the one who is planning a wedding and getting married.
And so far, and I reserve judgment to change my opinion on this, because I know there's another girl coming next episode that we haven't met yet.
Yeah.
And I didn't get to fully see Joey's dad yet until the scenes from the next.
Okay.
But so far, Sam, her dad, is the only dad I would want to bang.
Oh, yeah, I could see that.
He's attractive.
Yeah.
Now, in the scenes from the season, I think that Joey's dad may take the lead, but I need to see him a little bit better.
Yeah.
Quite frankly, I would rather bang him than Danny Ashley's fiance. This chinless motherfucker, I don't understand why people were like, oh, yuck. Like, Chanel, you don't want that.
I didn't get a good look at his face, but I did get a good look at his huge watch that you could read from space. Did you see that?
That was very of the moment. And I actually had a watch like that then that I got in Hong Kong. It was a Panari watch and it was like the size of a dinner plate and I loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was very of the time.
I mean, this is coming from me too, who wears an Apple Watch and I sort of hate how big it is. But this, it was just one of those like huge rectangular faces on his wrist. Like it looks like Inspector Gadget. Like he's got a walkie-talkie on there.
Yeah, big watches were very in then. Very, very in.
Of course.
I mean, he just kind of looked like Frankenstein. I don't like, I mean, I mean, he wasn't like hideous, but per se, but he, I wouldn't call him attractive. And I also, I don't know, I just thought it was funny that like Chanel was like, oh, like if only I could find a Danny. And I was like, oh girl, you can look under any rock and find a Danny.
Right. So this is where we learn too that, so Chanel and her family are modern Orthodox. And so they keep kosher. They, you know, they celebrate Sabbath and kids live at home with parents until they're married. And most of these ladies live with their parents. So let's just blanket that right now.
Don't all of them, or does Joey not? We don't know. Like, I mean,
We don't know.
We don't know yet, but.
Right. But Erica does, Ashley does, Chanel does, Amanda does.
I mean, everyone we met this episode does.
4 out of 5 we met this episode. Yeah.
Yeah.
Confirmed. So Chanel's mother is pressuring her to get married and have a family, and because she knows Chanel wants those things. And she encourages her to look for the qualities of your father, which Frank would support.
100%. Don't know if he's a good guy. Definitely would bang him.
Yeah. So then did you catch that the younger sister says there are a lot of guys out there exactly like Danny?
Yeah, that's when I threw up all over my apartment.
But also, you're marrying someone and you're implying at the same time that they're a dime a dozen. It didn't come across great.
Well, I mean, I just think she was saying that there's like a lot of good guys out there.
I guess so. But that's not how it came out. And Danny made kind of a sad face. And she said, they're going to kiss your feet the way they should. Sure.
But then we find out about Chanel's ex.
Uh-huh. And we're going to meet him at some point.
Yes, we see that in the scenes from the season. This is where things get real gross. So she says she was with him for 10 months.
Yep.
They've been broken up for 5.
Yep.
But he left her for his ex, who is only 19, which I'm assuming means the ex was 18 when the ex was dating the first. I mean, like, if he was with her for 10 months and left her for a 19-year-old, I'm assuming that person was 18 when he first started dating her the first time.
Maybe so, younger.
Yuck. And yeah. I mean, although we don't know how old he is, but I'm guessing if she's 27, that he's probably older than her. So, ew.
Yeah. It's not great.
No, it's not great.
That's not a guy you want back.
No.
No. And, you know, Chanel admits that it's challenging for her to plan her sister's wedding, knowing that when she and her ex were happy a year ago, she feels like this could have been her if things had worked out. And that's kind of sad. And she says to her family, if they were out there, I would be married by now. But I haven't.
I would also love to know, they don't tell us how long Ashley and Danny have been together. I would like to know that. I'd be curious. Like, has it been a year? Has it been 10 months? Has it been 6? But like, I would love to know how long they've been together.
We might find out. We might find out.
Oh, I bet it's their wedding, isn't it?
What do you mean?
In the scenes from the season.
Yeah.
There's a wedding.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I was hoping it was one of the other girls, but all right.
No.
Okay. All right.
All right.
Well, damn. There goes my big surprise for the season. I thought one of these ladies was going to finally land a man.
No. Anything else about Chanel and her family and the giant bottle of orange juice on the dinner table?
And also the giant 2-liter of Coke. And they eat real healthy in that house.
All the beverages and plastic bottles on the dinner table.
Yeah.
Like the contents of the fridge.
Yeah.
But other than that, I don't have any notes on them. And we go to meet Erica. Oh, she's Erica.
27.
She's 29.
Oh, she is? Why did I write 27?
I don't know.
Ashley's 29. Are we sure Erica's 29? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I got the intro.
So we sort of are introduced to Erica by the camera slowly going up to her house. And I don't know whether they're trying to imply that she's the wealthiest one. I guess we'll find out as we see more houses. But it has like a circular driveway and the camera makes a point of going around the circle to like park out the front door, kind of.
Well, I did say that I'm reserving judgment because I haven't seen Ashley's house yet or the girl who we haven't seen yet. But as of now, from the outside, Erica has my favorite house.
Yes. Yeah. It's a fancy house. And she is cooking with her parents, Cheryl and Roger, and she's commenting that red meat is bad for you with her mom. And she says, isn't it fattening? And then, Erica tells her parents that Chanel is kosher. And so they all start checking the labels of the food. And her dad just says, she won't know.
Yeah, they specifically check the hot dogs is what they check. Yeah. And he's like, oh, whatever, she won't know. And then he like says a little prayer over it. And he's like, that's all they do anyway. I would love to know. I mean, it's sad that this show, this is before Bravo was really doing reunions.
Yeah.
I would love a reunion because I would love to know how she and her family felt about it when they saw that scene.
I know.
Because that is not cool.
No, it's like, not cool.
Not cool at all.
No. And Erica tells us that they are reform. And she, in her confessional, says, what it means is that we're not that Jewish, I guess. Her words, not mine.
Yeah.
Also, we need to discuss, I think there are going to be several moments in this show where we discuss this. But for this episode, it's Erica. We need to discuss this spray tan. Like, what are we calling this dark brown color? Like, she looks like a pecan.
Oh, I didn't even think it was a spray tan. I thought it was just from the sun.
Maybe. Or maybe
she just sits by that pool all day, every day.
These ladies probably love a tanning bed as well. Let's put
yeah.
They,
well,
yeah.
I mean, you have to remember in 2012, if you got a spray tan, you were orange.
That's okay. All right.
They didn't have the technology that we have today. So okay. I think well, that's I've never a got, real tan.
I've never gotten one. I wouldn't know.
Oh, back then, yeah, you were orange if you got a spray tan. Like that, this is a real tan, I believe.
Okay. Well, she is very tan. Good on her, I guess. But that's, I don't, she's a different color. Very obviously so. So then Chanel shows up to family dinner at Erica's house and she's wearing another headband. And she shows up and brings wine. We find out that she and Erica have known each other since high school. And she gives us some background on Erica that we otherwise wouldn't know. So Erica was apparently the hottest girl on Long Island when
most
they were younger.
Glamorous.
Oh, okay.
Most glamorous girl on Long Island. And don't worry, guys. I got a very good shot of her glamour shot on her wall with her wet hair in a towel that is prominently framed in her parents' home.
Oh, ick. How did I miss that?
They like I don't know because they zoom in on it and she says that like she's the most glamorous girl, it's hysterical.
Oof. But we also find out that every girl wanted to be her friend and she was an it girl. This is all according to Chanel, so I'm kind of loving this. And so then they try and use one of those like automatic or like battery powered wine openers. And they're struggling
with it.
From
Crate and Barrel.
From Crate and Barrel, yeah, label out. And they're struggling with it, but then they have a funny moment about how it's like a vibrator and it needs new batteries. It's kind of funny. So Erica says in her confessional that she has a reputation as a party girl, but she doesn't party 24/7. She wants us to know that. And she doesn't overdo it because, duh, she lives with her parents. Okay. So then Chanel discusses how she thinks it's normal to live with parents because she does and a lot of their friends do. And then she discloses to Erica and her parents, Chanel does, that her ex, the one dating the 19-year-old, reached out to her recently and sort of said like, well, even though we're broken up, doesn't mean we can't talk. And Chanel told him that's exactly what it means. We can't talk. And we find out that Erica has an on and off boyfriend named Rob, who is trying to win her back. And Erica, our tanning and wine queen, is also smoking a cigarette on by the pool with her
parents. Oh yeah, that was my most exciting part. And I thought it was really funny that her parents were like getting on her about having too much wine, but didn't care that she was like chain smoking Parliament lights.
So the number of times we heard her parents just sort of checking on her wine intake casually, even in one episode, it's not great.
No. I'm assuming she's going to be one big drunky monkey for the whole series.
And she's 29 years old. It's not great. It's not great. But she is just living her Parliament like glory and talking about this. I'm going to call him boyfriend because it's a situationship or whatever. So they were together for 10 months. They've known each other since high school. But Erica says, in high school, I honestly would never have looked twice at him. Ow.
Also, this just really goes to show that all you need is money and confidence to be an it girl. Because she's not an unattractive young lady,
no,
but she's not someone you would look twice at walking down the street.
Yeah. And I actually, we meet him later and he's not like stop traffic hot, but he's not ugly.
He's fine. He's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially compared to some other gentlemen.
I mean, I feel like they're the literal same level of attractiveness, her yeah. and him. So I don't know what she's talking about. But
he had a pretty good body, didn't he?
No.
Oh, okay. Okay. Maybe I'm confusing him with the other people at that party.
You definitely are.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
I mean, he didn't have a bad body, but he's probably skinny fat. Like, I don't think he works out or anything, but.
Okay. All right. So Erica also tells us that her and Rob, one day they're in love and one day they hate each other. They're always breaking up and making up. And then she says that she needs another bottle of wine. And her dad says, "That's it, Erica." Yikes.
Yeah.
All right. And then we meet our next princess, also 29, Ashley, and her dad, Hal.
Hal, yeah, who has a not great mustache dye job.
Yeah. Did you say Hal? H-A-L?
Hal. H-A-L. Hal.
Oh, okay. I misheard his name then. I thought his name was How, H-O-W-E.
No. It's Hal, like the computer from 2001 A Space Odyssey.
That might be their accent. Okay. So Ashley and her dad go to the Eastern Breeze Nail Salon.
In Woodbury Town Plaza.
Okay.
It is still in existence.
I mean, it looks like a nice nail salon. Yeah. I'll say that. It's in like a fancy strip mall.
Yeah.
And so Ashley, we learn, is a bundle of fun. I think she calls herself that, or her dad, aka her biggest fan. And they're having this, you know, debate about picking their nail color, which I identify with, except that I only pick like the same, you know, four or five colors every time. And Ashley refuses to get metallic. She's just adamant, no metallic. She admits or says about herself that she is a stereotype. She said, "I'm Jewish, I'm American, and I'm a princess."
Yeah, she's horrible.
Yeah, she put it right out there. This is not, that was self-defined, everybody. We didn't say it, she did. So she's so close to living with her family, or so close to her family, and loves living at home. Because, quote, she doesn't pay rent, she doesn't grocery shop, or have to clean her own room. Great. Also, they both get, quote, vanilla shimmer.
Oh, well, you're missing a lot, though. Before she goes in, she has her dad pick out her nail color for her. He even paints one of her nails before they sit down in the chair to double check the color. Okay. Then they sit down together in the pedicure chair. And that's when she says she wants vanilla shimmer. And then he chimes in that he wants vanilla shimmer as well. And she calls him a copycat.
And what is vanilla shimmer at the nail salon? I don't know.
The color. I'm sure it's the color. It's a nail color.
Oh, okay. Oh, like they both wanted like neutral toes?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'm sure it's like a shiny, like pale white, I would guess.
Okay. I couldn't tell if they were, I was thinking at it from a too modern perspective of like the Hailey Bieber, like adding like a chrome shine to something. And I was kind of like, wow, was Long Island really that advanced?
No, I think it's just the color they picked. I mean, it's probably like an Essie color or something.
Yeah.
But my favorite is that when they're having the manicure or pedicures, that she and her dad are talking about like what she's looking for in a man. And I think in her talking head, she says this, that she really just wants, or maybe it was her dad. I can't remember who she was talking to. It was talking head or dad, but that she's just looking for a man, like a real alpha man. She wants an alpha man. And she says, just like her dad. I'm sorry. Your dad is the furthest thing from an alpha man on planet Earth.
Yeah.
He is a hen-pecked wimpo who does all your bidding. Like, give me a break. Alpha man, my ass. I'm sure he's a lovely person, but he is not an alpha man.
Yes, agreed. And it's also, I think it's just kind of funny too. So Ashley is 4'9". And we hear this because she has a meltdown because the salon wants her to leave in, you know, the disposable flat shoes they give you.
Which,
and
by the way, technically makes her a little person.
Yes,
anyone under 5 feet tall is a little person.
Yes. And her father is a couple inches taller than her.
At best.
Right. And so she's talking about how her dad is this like powerful alpha. And then it's kind of like, okay. I think what she means by that is that she wants someone who's a provider like her dad.
Yeah.
And she's getting that term wrong. But she loves her father, as we figure out. So she is just incredibly worked up by the fact that a nail salon is sliding the disposable flip-flops on her feet. And I find it very hard to believe that someone like Ashley, who has had probably weekly pedicures for half of her life at this point, hasn't figured this out yet, or doesn't bring her own heeled sandals to put on as they paint her feet, if this is how she feels.
Oh, this was the fakest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah. It's bad, though.
Because it is bad. And truly, well, let's tell everyone what happens. So she goes on this rant about how she cannot wear flats. Cannot. Never wears flats. Yeah. Has flat, high-heeled slippers. High heels 24/7. And there's, first of all, I would love to know what her feet look like today, because I worked with a woman, this was 30 years ago almost now, who was like an ex-80s rocker chick. And she wore, this is before I met her, she wore exclusively like 6-inch stiletto heels. That's it. That's all she ever wore. And it shrunk her Achilles tendon. And it got to the point where she couldn't make her feet flat. And she had to have surgery and was never allowed to wear heels ever again.
Yeah.
And she was probably around 30, like late 20s, early 30s. So I would love to, I bet Ashley can't make her feet flat these days and probably has had to have the same surgery and isn't allowed to wear heels anymore, because you cannot always wear heels. Like, that's not a thing. Ugh. You mess up your feet. You mess up your Achilles tendons really bad.
That also sounds so painful.
So painful. So she loses her mind that she can't leave the salon in heels. So she sits in a chair, has her dad in a rolling chair, like an office chair, has her dad push her to the front of the salon, and then has the audacity to ask one of the gentlemen who works there to carry her piggyback style to the car so she doesn't have to walk in flats.
Yeah.
This is where my head exploded, and yeah. I decided that I will hate this bitch till the end of time.
From what I remember, she's a doozy. It's hard. And what made it even, I mean, it's so bad to watch, but then her dad shakes the man's hand and says, she's so funny.
Well, what I was trying to see, and I froze frame it a million times, was to see if the dad was slipping him money.
I would hope so, but I would hope so
too, but I couldn't tell. And then when the guy was walking back into the salon, I like, again, froze frame it and got up real close, and I didn't see any money in either hand. So,
yeah. But
again, this is bullshit. Like, if you truly feel that way, you bring your.
Yeah, you bring your shoes. Yes.
You put them on, and then you have them paint your toes, and then you wear those dumbass shoes until your nails are dry. Or you sit there for 100 years until your nails are dry and put your shoes back on. No one's carrying anyone to cars. And again, like you said, this is not her first pedicure.
No way.
Although she did say, I'm going to play devil's advocate a little, when they were coming in, she did say that she doesn't like to wear polish. Remember? She says that to her dad. Like, I don't like to wear polish. I don't usually wear polish. So maybe she gets a pedicure without any polish. And that was why.
I still don't believe that, given her other descriptions of herself, though.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, it seemed hella fake to me, but
I also feel like her friends would make fun of her for not having color on her toes.
I don't know.
Yeah. Anyway, it's a lot. Ashley's a lot.
Yeah.
Long story short. So then we meet our next princess, Amanda, who is 26, and her mother. I don't know if they put up the title card Barbara or Babs.
Babs. The title card said Babs.
Yeah. So she and her mother, we got more candidates for the overly tan.
I felt a little personally attacked by her mother because she, like me, has spent the majority of her life in the sun and is now just one giant freckle. Like, she is just a festival of skin damage. And overly tan. And again, that is the sun. That is not self-tanner. Like, they are all in the sun.
Yeah. So they are both wearing scarf tops.
Mm-hmm.
And they both sort of have, I mean, I called it faucet hair, but I feel like that's not the accurate description. What would you call this, like, these curls that they have?
Oh, it was very Farrah Fawcett reminiscent. Okay. Like, they both have like long, very blonde, blown back layered hair.
Yeah. Yeah. They kind of look like twins born a couple decades apart.
Yeah, agreed.
And that description would probably thrill Babs.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah,
actually, controversial thing to say, I think Babs is prettier than Amanda.
She is. Not that controversial. I agree. But anyway, she is just, from the minute you see her, like, she's that mom. Like, she's like a Mean Girls mom, you know, like, yeah. Oh, I love you, keep me young, you know?
Yeah.
So this is where we learn that Amanda has a boyfriend named Jeff, and he is going to be picking her up soon, as she says to Babs. She and her mom live together in Great Neck, and she admits that my mom thinks she's my best friend and not my mother. Like, she has a hard time separating the two. Babs is actually not pressuring Amanda to get married and leave the house like the other parents that we met. She says, you're never leaving me. You're my firstborn. So Jeff is a new boyfriend. Do we learn how long they've been together?
They do not say how long. I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think they say. But they're not engaged, but it's impending any minute. And yes. So as soon as I saw Jeff, the second I saw him, the second he got out of the car, he immediately in looks reminded me of someone. And I want to know if you thought he reminded you of anyone, because I want to know if it's the same person.
Okay. We'll come back to that in 1 second, because Babs says to her, you haven't even been together a year.
Okay.
So there we go. We've got some context there. And when Amanda talks about how they're going to get engaged and Babs says, you haven't been together for a year, she said, I don't want to hear about it. So then Jeff arrives in his little two-door Chrysler convertible or whatever that thing is.
Oh, I thought it was your Mercedes. Was it the Chrysler? It might've been the Chrysler.
It was not a Mercedes. Who did Jeff remind me of? I don't know. I feel like I need to hear it and then I'll agree or disagree.
Kramer.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Kramer from Seinfeld.
From Seinfeld. Immediately. In fact, as soon as he got out of the car, and it was really hard to get, because I couldn't get a good picture of it because he was move in motion. I did get a picture of him at some point. But yeah, I mean, instantly. In fact, I thought it was Kramer. I was like, what is even happening?
Or like a dollar store Sacha Baron Cohen.
No, Kramer.
Okay.
It's all Kramer all the time. Yeah.
And actually, that's an insult to Sacha Baron Cohen, because Sacha Baron Cohen's actually pretty hot.
Well, we're mad at Sacha Baron Cohen right now.
Oh, okay.
You haven't heard about the Rebel Wilson thing?
Oh, no, I did. Oh, yeah. You're right.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why his name came to my mind. I saw a headline.
Yeah, probably.
Okay. Yep. Okay. Take it back. So Jeff is wearing a blazer and brown leather, like, loafers for date night with jeans. And Amanda's wearing a black mini dress and sort of like a belly chain around it. And then I don't know if you saw her shoes, but she is wearing like stripper height, like purple suede shoes to go with her little black dress. Yeah.
And how old is Jeff?
Jeff is 38 years old.
Yeah.
They met on the Long Island Railroad, though, which I actually find kind of a cute meet cute. Like, they just started talking on a commuter train. Like, that's not a horror. Like, okay.
Oh, no, it is disgusting.
But
I can picture it. And after the bathing suit scene that we're going to talk about later, like, I can 1,000% picture their meet cute. And it was more like a meet vomit. Like,
okay.
Let
me rephrase. It could be a cute meet cute with someone other than Jeff.
Yeah. I bet it was like cringe-tastic. I bet other people on that train car were like running for their lives to get away from him. And I also bet that she was probably like, I bet he daily assaults some poor strange woman and then wore everybody down until he finally got to Amanda, who was into it. Like, he just seems like the kind of creepo that would just walk up and bug single ladies everywhere he goes.
Yeah. So we also need to just warn everybody who doesn't remember or hasn't watched this. Amanda and Jeff are that couple. They know it, but they are like Carl and Lindsay last season on Summer House. Like, whoa, the baby, the I love you, the you're so sexy, the just constant, like it will never stop. And I will do my best not to try and imitate their accents when I have to recount those details.
Yeah, they're kind of constantly love bombing each other.
Yes, very much so. So they go out to dinner and, you know, Amanda's telling us that Jeff is 38 years old and she loves the 12-year age difference. She thinks it's sexy and so does Jeff. And then she They love each other so much. So many I love yous. So many I love yous. And then she says, you know, I see you as my husband and in my life forever. And he's thrilled to hear this. And he says he can't wait to have her part of the Hoffman family. So that will make him easier to look up later. And he says he thinks Babs will be happy to hear that he's marriage material. No. We already know that's a no. And then she like
squeezes. I wonder what the bigger age gap is between him and Ashley or him and Babs.
Him and Amanda.
I'm sorry. Him and Amanda or him and Babs. It might be the same.
It might be.
Because Babs could easily be 50 or less.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Extra
So she squeezes his arms and says, your muscles are bulging. You're so hot. And Amanda at least is aware of this. And in her confessional, she says, if I were single and looking at a couple like Jeff and I would want to throw up and shoot myself. Thank you.
I don't think you have to be single to want to do that.
That's true. But at least I was like, thank you for identifying that. Now stop it.
And what interrupts their PDA festival?
Babs calls Amanda. However, Amanda answers the phone.
Yeah.
Decline.
Yeah, that annoyed me too when she was just like, oh, I can't believe my mom's calling during a tape. Like, don't answer the phone.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure production put them up to it, but like,
it's
like,
right. And so her mom just basically, you can hear Bab say, like, how's your evening going? And Amanda said, well, I think I left 5 minutes ago and we're about to order. And then Jeff is encouraging her to hang up. And Amanda knows that he's the one.
Yeah.
She just knows.
I mean, I don't disagree. They're both disgusting with each other. So I can't imagine anyone else putting up with that from either of them. So maybe he is the one.
Maybe. I'm tempted to like deep dive them first to answer that question. But then part of me wants to save them for last so we can live in suspense with this ick longer. So then we go back to Ashley. And she goes to pick up Joey, who we haven't met yet, to go shopping for her birthday dress because Ashley is about to be turning 30. And she acts about 3. So that's what we're dealing with here. So she's picking up Joey in Freeport, which I've never been to. But
me neither.
Ashley is appalled by the state of Freeport. She calls her dad on her BlackBerry. Shout out BlackBerry. She says, Dad, there are literally benches and couches on front porches. And those fences, I think she means chain link fences.
Well, she means chain link fences with the green stuff on them.
And her dad says, be smart. Are your doors locked? And she says, yes. And then her dad says, you should be appreciative, or you have to be appreciative of the things that you have, you know, when you're in situations like that. Which is somewhat decent advice, but that's not going to stick or change anything.
He also says that it sounds like to him, it reminds him of Atlantic City.
Yes.
Now, I will say, I don't know if this was the editors setting her up for something or what, but all pictures of people that they showed walking down the street were all people of color.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they were trying to imply and show us that Ashley is racist, or if they themselves were being racist, but I found it to be very racist.
It was. Yeah. I think they're trying to drive home this whole North Shore, South Shore thing, but that doesn't apply to so many of us. And this particular scene was not doing it in a great way.
No.
Obviously. And Ashley also says that she wants to give everyone a hug and then get the hell out.
Yeah.
What a beautiful attitude.
Yeah.
And then she goes to pick up Joey, and Joey comes out of a building and on a street that looked nothing like where Ashley was pulled over or where she called her dad from.
No, it looked lovely.
It looked lovely.
Lovely.
And Joey comes out of like a very nice looking, like kind of townhouse looking building. Like it looks like 5 townhouses together, like in one big building or whatever. It looks completely fine.
To me, it looked like one of those garden apartment buildings that, like you said, that looks like kind of a mansion or something, but it's actually garden apartments. Like I think that's kind of what it was, but it was very nice. It looked very brand new.
It was not the same block as the phone call.
No,
yeah, Anyway, gross.
And also, if you feel like you're in a quote-unquote sketchy area and you're afraid for yourself in your fancy BMW convertible, why pull over? Like, get the fuck out of it. Like, the dumbest thing you can do is, I'm going to stop.
Yeah.
I'm worried about my surroundings, and I'm scared to be in this neighborhood, so I'm going to stop my car instead of leaving the neighborhood.
And same thing as the pedicure. So if this person is such a good friend of yours that you're bringing them to shop for your 30th birthday dress, you've never picked them up before? You've never driven through her neighborhood before? You're just going to crap on it on television? Okay.
Yeah. I don't. Yeah. She's awful.
Yeah, she is. So then we meet Joey, who is 29 also. And I'm going to go ahead and say a voice of reason.
Totally. And she says one of the things I absolutely loved, that unlike her, the other girls are all members of the Lucky Sperm Club.
Yes. So she says that she is so far from spoiled. She works full time and she's working on launching her own business. We learn 200 people are coming to Ashley's 30th birthday party.
Mm-hmm.
And Joey says she doesn't even have that many people she likes. I like Joey.
Yeah, I do too.
So, and she also makes fun of Long Island girls in a way that's really refreshing compared to Ashley in particular. She says Long Island girls are into status. They drive BMWs, they shop at Roosevelt Field Mall, they carry a Prada bag, and their mom has fake boobs. The car you drive, the bag on your arm, and the guy you date are pretty much who you are on Long Island. Wait, that could be the tagline of this show. So then they get caught in a rainstorm in the car. In the car, important note. And I appreciate that driving in heavy rain, like in summer, is kind of scary. But oh, Ashley just has no coping mechanisms whatsoever. Like, it's gonna be a bumpy ride with her. and they're going to this store, and when they pull up to the store, they realize that it is closed. It is black. And it's because there is a blackout because of the storm that they just drove through. And so she begs to go in the store and just look.
But first of all, Erica is there waiting for them. Oh, so yeah. Erica is there out front. Yeah. So she and Joey get out of the car and say to Erica, like, what's going on? Like, is it open? Like, the lights are not on. And these girls are not geniuses. And Erica's like, well, no, it should be open. So they bang on the door.
Yeah.
And they get the sales girl to open the door for them. And then Ashley made me want to reach through the television and rip her teeny tiny little body apart from limb to limb.
Yeah.
Because she's one of these annoying, entitled people who will not take no for an answer.
No.
And they think that makes them, like, great.
Yeah. She thinks she's very determined. She doesn't see herself as rude.
So she hounds and hounds and hounds this one. Oh, it's my party. I have to get a dress. I don't need the lights. I can look without them. I'm really quick. We'll not. And then another salesperson, probably the manager, comes to her and says, our credit card machine doesn't work. Like, there's nothing we can do. And someone else says, well, you could take her credit card number down. I think that might have been Erica. And she just is so fucking annoying that they finally just relent and let her into the store to pick stuff out to put on hold. And this is why I'm annoyed about everyone. I'm annoyed that the two other girls put up with this behavior. I'm annoyed that the two women in the store encouraged this behavior by finally letting her into the store. And I'm annoyed that Ashley is such a dumb fucking cunt that she doesn't realize that she's going to have to come back tomorrow to pick up the stuff she put on hold anyway, you stupid bitch. So you have to go back anyhow.
So that was my whole
all of this.
Right. So that was my thing. If I find out that I have to go back to a store to pick up what I put on hold or actually try things on or pay for them later, I don't need to browse ahead of time.
No. Did you think there's going to be a mad rush for little people dresses that everyone was going to come and steal all of her ultra petite children's size clothing out of the store between now and tomorrow during a blackout? Like, it made me so angry. And it made me extra angry that she was so incredibly proud of herself that she managed to strong arm her way into that store.
She said, I worked my magic and I always get my way.
Yeah.
Also, being spoiled and obnoxious is not magic.
No, it's not.
Yeah. And so then they drive away and she's all proud of herself, but she has to come back and actually, like, try those things on and purchase them.
Well, I think she tried them on. I just don't think she purchased them.
I don't know. Did we see her in a dressing room or did we just see her throwing dresses over her arm?
I don't know.
honestly, who cares? Because they're terrible.
Well, I'm sure she just went straight to the Polly Pocket section and just grabbed stuff off the rack. I do not like her.
I know, she's tough. I also, Joey lets her do it, but she, as soon as they pull up and the store is closed, Joey's like, oh God, Ashley's going to ruin this for everyone, basically. Yeah. And she says, like, I don't understand what the big deal is. Like, it's her birthday and it's 2 weeks away. And there are plenty of stores on Long Island and other malls where she could probably get a dress. And I don't believe that someone who doesn't work and lives at home with their mom and dad hasn't picked out a dress 2 weeks before their big 30th birthday party with 200 guests. She probably ordered it 6 months ago and just has to pick it up from the tailor.
Probably.
Yeah.
Although I will play devil's advocate, she does not seem like someone who is an advanced planner. And she does seem like someone who is a little princess brat who expects the world to cave to her and probably waits for the last minute for everything and just expects it to work out, which it did.
Yeah. It's
I mean, true. I know people like that, that instead of planning in advance when things are very easy, and I'm related to some of them might be my parents, they just like to throw money at a problem.
Yeah, no, it's true.
Like, it's easier for them to wait till the last minute, make everyone stressed out, and just pay extra.
Fair enough. Fair enough. So then we go back to Erica's house, specifically her pool. And she and Joey are hanging out after work. Mind you, after Joey works. I don't think Erica works. I think Joey might be the only one with a job.
Yeah. Okay. That's the vibe I'm getting.
Erica's wearing a flower crown.
She is wearing a flower crown. And this is where I'm going to take a little umbrage with our Joey.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see what Joey showed up with?
No.
A giant Vuitton bag.
Oh.
So okay. You can act like you're above the fray, but you're actually part of it.
Oh, she totally is.
Yeah.
But I bet she bought that bag herself.
Yes, and it was real, as far as I could tell, because the LVs were going the right way, because on one side they were upside down.
Okay. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
But I also love that Erica's acting. So Erica kind of reminds me of a friend of mine. But she's acting like she's had a really hard day, you know, like, oh, it's just so nice to be able to drink with Joey after work. Whereas I feel like Erica's literally been doing it all day in her flower crown by herself. And she's just happy she has a playmate now. So Erica pours Joey a glass of wine so big, Joey gives her a hard time and then pours some back in the bottle.
And says, this is like a $35 glass of wine.
Yeah. It was big. And then.
Now I'm team Erica on this one.
I mean, when you're sitting by a pool, whatever.
Well, but I mean, anytime, like if I'm in someone's home, like I don't want to have to refill my glass 1,000, like just fucking fill it up. Like, I don't give a fuck. Like, I would rather just have one giant full glass of wine and drink it than to have like a 4 ounce pour and be refilling it all the time. I am team her for that. I do the same thing.
I'm going to say it's because Joey's driving.
Oh, I didn't think about that.
She has to go back to the South Shore. She can't be drinking a 12 ounce glass of wine.
That is true. I didn't think about that aspect. You are correct. Okay.
Yeah. So anyway, we learn that Erica's living at home by choice. And Joey says, sign me up for the Gimbals, meaning Erica's family. So Erica announces she wants to have a pool party on Friday. And they're going to have a bring your best boy you're not interested in party. That's also the second sort of allusion to Sex and the City I caught, actually, in this episode. I think these ladies, they're very heavily influenced by Carrie Bradshaw and co. When Chanel is talking to her parents and they ask her what she's looking for in a relationship, she basically says what Carrie says in Paris about to the Russian, that she wants, what does she say? Like, she basically says, like, she wants fairy tale, like, would surrender anything for love or whatever. It's a very similar phrase. So
I mean, that tracks. I can see all of these women being.
Exactly. Yeah. So then Erica's dad shows up again. And I didn't note his name this time. I've already forgotten. And Erica offers him wine. And she says she's having a pool party. And her dad says, is it a pool party? Or is it a gimbal pool party? And he says, you know, like, are you going to have 100 people? And I forget what she doesn't say it's going to be 100 people. But she says it's going to be more like 20 or 30 or something like that.
Well, no. She says, she's like, no. It's not going to be 100 people. She's like, it's just going to be the girls. And she's like, and a couple, like, eye candy guys. And that's it.
She says boys who aren't working, meaning like boys who are available on Friday. Yeah. And Joey says, I don't think your dad wants us hanging out with boys who don't work. Fair. And so her dad reminds her of the rules. Like there's no drinking of his wine in particular. And Erica's like, no, no, no. It'll be like a beer and margarita thing. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So also Rob is coming over for dinner with Erica and her parents.
They're back together.
Yeah. She's also feeling the pressure for marriage and kids. And she said her parents bring it up pretty much every day. And then she says to Joey, we're still young. And Joey says, not really. You have like 6 years until your eggs go bad. So she's 29.
Yeah.
Cause that's 35. People always make the BFD. All right. Serenity now. We're going to Great Shapes Swimwear. Yes, store.
Which weirdly it's in Roslyn Heights. It says it's temporarily closed on Google, but the website there's a website. So I wonder if it's just not brick and mortar anymore. I think it might just be a website.
It's an interesting store.
Yeah.
And
who is at Great Shapes Swimwear?
So Amanda and Jeff are going shopping for Erica's pool party. Basically, they're buying Amanda a bikini, and Babs is with them.
Yes, she is.
And she wants to go to the pool party too. But Amanda has let her know that's not happening.
Yeah.
So her mom holds up this like beach cover-up tunic caftan vibe and says like it kind of looks like Missoni. And Amanda says, no, that'll make me look pregnant. And then Jeff kind of jokes that she will be pregnant in a few years. And Babs looks at him and says, or maybe you'll get run out of town. Snaps for Babs. And then Amanda says, what, mom, you wouldn't be excited? And Babs again says, do I look like I want to be called grandma? Babs. Babs and Joey are MVPs so far. So Amanda says she brought Jeff because he loves to see her in bathing suits. And Babs, she talks about how Babs wants to come to the party. And Babs says, well, Jeff doesn't mind if I go. And they kind of make a face. And then Babs says, you're cock blocking me. So then Jeff asks the manager, the clerk, a worker at the store, do you have any string bikinis?
And he's on the string bikini hunt.
Yeah, he's being a creep. And the manager, to be fair, is sort of like, oh, like more of a Brazilian style, like sort of asking questions. And this is a male cashier or manager, by the way. This is not a female. And so Jeff is just kind of like, yeah, you know, like skimpy.
Well, but also both of them are wrong because there's a very big difference between a Brazilian cut bikini and a string bikini. A string bikini can have full ass coverage.
Yeah.
It just ties on the side. That's it. That's all a string bikini is. It ties on the side. Yeah. Brazilian literally is like a thong. Like your whole ass cheek is hanging out. So
yeah,
they're both dumb and wrong.
Yeah. So then we watch Amanda and her mom try on bathing suits. And where Babs loses some points for me is that she also wants the encouragement of Jeff while trying on bathing suits. And it's just a little ick.
This was so cringy. I'm going to have to go get my dye sport / Botox redone because I think it all exploded out of my forehead because of the faces I was making. It was horrific.
It's
horrific.
It's really gross.
Jeff is awful.
Yes. And he gets worse, if memory serves.
I think my favorite thing, meaning the thing that made me throw up, not even in my mouth, but all over myself, was he says to both, well, to first to Amanda and then to both of them, he says to Amanda, you are a baby. Not a babe, a baby. That is not a sexy term of endearment. You don't like, hey, ooh, baby. You're a baby. You're a big old baby. Like, yuck, that's disgusting. And then he says, I think to both of them, you're going to put a hole in my pocket.
Yep. So gross. Jeff,
I find it very hard to believe that you have a large enough erection to put a hole in anything.
Yes.
But secondly, gross and disgusting. And to say that in front of your, and to your girlfriend's mother is, so gross.
You're also, other comments. Oh my God, I want you right now. Cook dinner for me in that, please. Let me see that sexy body. That's how hot you are. You're my baby. He is so, so gross.
So gross. So gross.
And Amanda likes it.
Likes it. She loves it.
Yeah. I mean,
it kind of goes to show, like, maybe there is a God, because the fact that these two idiots managed to find each other on the Long Island Railroad is kind of amazing.
Yeah.
Because I guarantee you his pickup lines were similar.
Oh, God. I also, if he had met Babs on the Long Island Railroad, he would have done the same thing.
I don't know. I think he likes to skew young.
I guess we find that out at the pool party.
Yeah.
Oh boy. Okay. So real quick, we get this random interstitial with Erica and her parents about how fun it would be to have a wedding. And her mom tells her to slow down. And then,
which goes against everything she's been claiming.
Yeah. Also, Erica has a lot less makeup on in this very brief scene with her mother. And she looks much prettier.
Yeah, she does. And
she says that she knows she grew up with a silver spoon in her ass. And her mom goes, "Your ass?" Meaning like it was in your mouth, you little brat. Yeah. And she was like, "No, it's a saying." Ha ha. And then we go to,
I also want to say, based on her parents' looks, I don't think they were that young when they had her. So I think that's probably why her mom's being like, slow your roll a little bit. Because her mom to me looks like she's for sure in her 60s.
Yeah.
So I think her mom had her when she was in her 30s. So I think that's why this whole, like, I think Erica's pressure to get married is a lot self-induced, not coming from her parents.
Yes. I think that also tracks with the wasn't it girl, every guy wanted to date her vibe, and now she's off and on single and living with her mom and dad.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then we go to old Brookville on the Gold Coast, and Erica and Rob are throwing a pool party while Erica's house sitting for her cousin. So they're throwing it at the cousin's quote unquote mansion.
Yeah. It was a very pretty house.
It was. And
it's,
she
weird
says,
though, it looked, I didn't get a picture of this, but it looked gigantic from the back.
And small from the front.
Small from the front, right? It was weird.
I know. I thought the same thing. And then she also says that she's glad she's not having the pool party at her parents' because she doesn't have to worry about them or cleaning up. Who cleans when you're house sitting? What?
I don't know.
Yeah. Isn't that rude to throw a party in someone else's home and just leave it?
Yeah. I don't know.
It was weird.
Maybe the fancy cousins have a maid service.
I mean, I guess so. That's what she meant. But I was kind of like, I also don't believe that her parents don't also have a maid service.
Well, but,
or maybe her parents make her clean.
Well, and if your parents are home, you can't leave the mess for a day or two for the maid to come.
Right.
Because your parents would be like, clean this shit up. We live here. But if she's house sitting, be like, oh, the maid's coming on Sunday. I'm just going to leave it.
Ugh, gross. Okay, but then we're at this pool party, I think, until the end of the episode, and there's a lot happening here. It is a 20-somethings pool party in the summertime, right?
Well, except for Jeff.
Yeah, who's 60. So Ashley arrives fully clothed, not dressed for a pool party.
No.
Chanel arrives, another headband.
Of course.
They don't look good on her. Like, they're cutting off her face at a weird angle. Like, it's smushing her hair. It's causing a weird, like, poof in the back. Like, it's just, Chanel, they don't look great on you.
Yeah, they do not. I mean, it's kind of sad that she's determined to make this her thing.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if it was her thing before the show, or if she was like, I'm going to be filmed for a show and I'm going to have a signature look and it's going to be headbands. But yeah, they're not doing her any favors.
Yeah. And the funny thing is like a headband that was worn further up the head, like, a headband, I feel like would actually look okay on her. It's the across the forehead that looks really bad.
Well, and if you're gonna do that kind of headband, I feel like it needs to be poker straight, like Cher hair. Like it,
yeah.
With her like flowy sausage curls, it's just not really jiving.
Yeah, I don't know. So then Joey arrives and her friends, and we learn from Joey that the best parties were always on the North Shore because the houses are nicer and that's where all the mansions are. But as a South Shore girl, she says the girls are hotter and way tougher.
Yeah.
So we also learn, I don't know from who, oh, Chanel, I think. So she said North Shore girls are looking for Wall Street, lawyer, doctor type of guys, whereas the guys that Joey brought with her from the South Shore are fist pumping trainer guys.
And firemen, we learn later. Trainers and firemen.
Yeah.
But can we talk about the fact that the only people that brought people was Joey?
Yeah, they were all supposed to bring dudes they're not interested in, and Joey's the only one who did.
Yeah, Joey's the only one that brought anybody. So it was just them and like all of Joey's friends. It was weird.
Yeah, it was weird. And this is where we learn that Ashley says looks aren't important to her. She wants to date a man 10 years older in a suit, and she wants amenities.
Yeah, so all that matters to her is money. Like, she just wants money.
Yeah.
She doesn't care what they look like as long as she doesn't have to work and they will give her money.
Yeah.
This reminds me of this horrible joke. There used to be this terrible joke book when I was a kid growing up called Truly Tasteless Jokes. They were awful. And, there's a really good one. What's the difference, between a Jewish American princess and a bowl of Jell-O?
I don't know.
A bowl of Jell-O moves when you eat it.
Oh, Jesus Christ. God. You did admit that the jokes were bad and tasteless, so I don't know why I'm surprised. Wow. Yeah.
I mean, please, let's all... Ashley just lays there. I mean, give me a break. Like, she's not putting in any effort in the bedroom either.
Yeah. I mean, how often is Ashley getting some, even? Like, I don't know.
No. I have to ask her dad.
Oh, I knew you were going to say that. I walked right in. I set you up for that, and then you spiked it. All right, so then we learn that, looks aren't important to Ashley, but she's definitely enjoying the eye candy of Joey's friends, and we learn that they are firemen. One of them, someone makes a joke about how they should be in a calendar, and then they say, like, oh, no, that guy over there was. And
it was Mr. May.
Yeah. Eye candy, indeed.
Yeah, I wrote in my notes, BRB, I'm going to the South Shore. See you later.
Yeah, I my note says, hey, bodies, like we've got some.
And they're not even, and I couldn't get a good picture of them because like the screen kept moving and they were not, I mean, it was hard to get a good picture. But, and they're not even like, they're not like the show Jersey Shore Guido-y.
Either. No.
I mean, they definitely talked like it. Yeah. But in looks, they weren't. They were just like hot looking dudes.
They were just hot. Yeah. The accent is sort of troubling for me at times.
Not for me.
Yeah, no, but they're just straight up hot. And I actually thought all of them were nice.
Yeah.
Like they were not coming in fist bumping and talking about being trainers the way that Chanel said other South Shore guys do. These guys seemed genuinely nice. They were mingling. They were polite. And
they were chill.
Yeah, I agree. So then Chanel also jumps into the pool while wearing her dress that she just bragged about. It's like, if you're bragging about your dress, shouldn't you preserve it?
Yeah, and then later changes into jeans and like an Oxford. It was weird.
Didn't even notice that.
I wonder if maybe she has body issues.
Yeah, maybe.
And didn't want to be in a bathing suit, and that was her way around, which I can totally relate to and understand.
Yeah, but like, same.
Maybe that was her way around it. Because why would you bring that dress and then bring a full change of clothes that is jeans and an Oxford?
Yeah. I mean, Ashley didn't get in the water at all either.
No.
Maybe Chanel just got hot. Maybe. I don't know. So this is where Erica says, you know, like she feels like we're back in high school, which she says in a fun way. And I was like, oh, I beg to differ. And, you know, she said, this is what summer is all about. So then Amanda and Jeff arrive.
They sure do.
Oh, guys. Oh, God. So Jeff says hi to Rob and he tries to get Amanda a drink, but she's sort of greeting other people and, you know, running around without him. She calls him Jeffy Poopy.
She sure does.
I can't breathe. I can't breathe. And so they talk about how the pool party is a meat market. Stop raining on our parade, Jeff and Amanda. Let the meat market happen. You're just jealous. And Amanda says that being with Jeff is just so much more comfortable than being single. Sure, Amanda. You don't want to be, you don't want to be taking shots off the abs of that fireman. Okay.
Now that I think about it, who is this meat market for? Because Joey already knows these dudes, and Ashley definitely wouldn't be interested in these dudes. And Amanda and Erica have boyfriends. So
I don't know.
It's weird.
I mean, who wouldn't be mad about a pool party with a bunch of firefighters, though?
I would be mad, though, if I was a bunch of hot dudes that got invited to a party where there were supposed to be girls, and all of the girls were either with someone or, I mean,
or snobs. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm assuming that they, and I'm guessing they already knew the girls they came with, like Joey's girlfriends.
Yeah.
It just seems weird. Like, why would you have a bring a guy party and then, like, for what? Like, just to look at? Like, I don't, whatever. I mean, at least get wasted and, like, get some strange.
Right.
From the bad part of town.
Yeah. So Erica says that Jeff is a more typical Long Island guy. I don't know what she meant by that. But then enter Sarah, no H, a friend of Joey's, so a South Shore girl, who goes over and says hello to Amanda and Jeff, basically, and says that she knows Jeff from Facebook. And then they don't know how she meant it. Sarah is not sober. And she says, oh no, I don't want you to think it was like that. And Amanda says, like, I don't. I know what kind of man he is. And then Jeff says, the tension's like a piece of cheesecake. You can cut it with a knife. You can cut it with a knife. You can cut it with a knife. Like, he repeats himself like 3 times.
He also repeats the cheesecake thing more than one. Like, he doesn't just say, he says cheesecake a couple times. It's weird. Yeah. I'm guessing that's one of his go-to phrases that he wanted to make sure everyone heard.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I feel like if the initial interaction with Sarah, there wasn't tension and it wasn't that weird. It wasn't until later that things get there. Like, I literally thought she was just like, oh, we know each other from Facebook, whatever. And she's like, oh, it wasn't like that. Like, we're just Facebook friends. Like, that seemed fine.
I thought Amanda and Jeff were making it weirder than it was at first.
They were. But yeah. I feel like Sarah's initial interaction with them was not weird.
Yes. But
then we get weird.
Yeah. So then Sarah goes over to, like, the table or the couches or whatever.
And it was like the drink table, I think.
Yeah. And Ashley's sitting there with the bald guy. And they're kind of wondering what just happened because Sarah does this like drive by and says, I know Amanda's boyfriend. He used to stalk me on Facebook.
And she says that he's a weirdo freako.
Right.
And Amanda had me in her pocket up till now. She loses me quickly, but up until this point, it's not Amanda, I'm sorry, Sarah. Sarah had me in her pocket. I was team Sarah up until this point. And then it all goes south real fast.
Okay. So then, you know, Jeff and Amanda kiss, and then Sarah goes up to Amanda and brings Facebook up again.
Apropos of nothing.
I think what she thinks she's doing is warning Amanda that Jeff is kind of a creep. But she is wasted. And it's not coming out that way. And also, she's not friends with Amanda.
No. Yeah.
So she's just looking like a drunk stranger saying weird things.
Yeah.
And Sarah basically says, like, I'm trying to look out for you. You're cute. And Amanda says, I am cute. Thank you. And then she says, please stop coming up to me and telling me this. And then she says, this girl needs to crawl back into the tanning bed she came out of. Sober up and go home. That's fair. That is fair. So then, you know, Sarah's a typical South Shore girl. People are hating on her. Erica actually steps in and tries to cool things down. She's like, we're having a good time. Everybody mellow out. Like, just stop talking to one another kind of thing. And then Amanda says, do you think I'm worried? I'm not, sweetie. And Sarah says, oh my God, I'm not starting with you. I only wanted to let you know. Like, classic drunk, like, drops a bomb and then always pretending she's diffusing it. You know what I mean? And then Jeff just keeps saying, take a stroll, take a stroll, take a stroll. He's like a parrot. He repeats everything he says. And then Sarah says, this douchebag loser is poking at me. And he says, I'm not a loser. And then she says, all right, faggot.
Yeah. That is where Sarah lost me. Actually, all of this Sarah lost me because I was just like, what are you doing? So Sarah calls him a faggot. All hell breaks loose.
Yeah.
Amanda throws a drink on Sarah. Yeah. But I will say Amanda just made me laugh because Sarah's like, oh my God, you threw a drink at me. And Amanda's like, you're already wet from the pool.
Yeah.
Like, what does it matter? Like, whatever. And this is where this is where Joey loses me because these are Joey's friends.
Okay.
And Joey keeps saying like, they're adults, whatever, like not my problem. I'm not going to do anything. If you bring a bunch of people to a party and one of them is causing problems, they're your responsibility because you brought them to your friends. I mean, Sarah is not friends with Erica. Like, this is Erica's part. Like, I feel like it was Joey's job. She should have stepped in and been like, hey, like, you got to go. This is not cool. Like, something needs to be done. Like, I didn't like Joey's stance on this.
I agree, but I liked her quote about it.
I think if everyone...
She says, I'm no one's parent, teacher, or principal. Do I agree with that action? No, it was her responsibility, but I liked the quote.
No, I like the quote too. And that would have been true if everyone at this party previously knew each other.
Yeah.
But as far as we know, these were all strangers to the host.
Yeah.
And if I bring someone to a party that doesn't know the host and they're being ass out insane, it's my job to rein them in because it reflects badly on me.
Yeah.
And then this is where Jeff, and I don't understand what the fuck Jeff, when Jeff starts screaming that he's the Shah of Iran.
Yeah, that was weird. I will also say, like, I know that Sarah said something incredibly insulting to him. When he yelled at her at first and like stepped towards her, it was a little scary. Like she is a hot mess and she had no business saying that or going up to them at all and saying any of it. But he looked for a minute like he was going to get aggressive with her and it creeped me out.
I didn't get that at all. He is a pussy.
I know. Like, maybe he just wanted to appear intimidating. Sarah is just so that drunk girl at a party. Like she can't stop bringing it up and thinking that she's making this better. Every time she walks up to them, it just like starts another fire. And like Amanda says, Sarah says, he's so weird. And she starts like calling him a freak. She's like, don't call my boyfriend a freak, but poking is so creepy. So I guess what happened was Jeff poked her on Facebook back when
probably
that was the thing.
Repeatedly.
And so I think she was telling Amanda, like, he just stalks Facebook and pokes random hot girls in Long Island, I think is what she was trying to tell her, or they edited it or whatever. But also it's Amanda doesn't need to hear that. She doesn't need to care.
No. And now this is where this is hard. I suddenly became Team Ashley.
Because she got mad at Joey.
No, because she got mad, period, and said, like, that's a horrible word. It's incredibly offensive. No one should be saying it, which no one else said.
Right.
No one else but her said.
Yeah.
And I don't want to have to stand up for Ashley, but in this instance, she was right, and it made me like her a little bit.
No, and she says, like, I question who Joey is for bringing Sarah.
Yeah.
I think that's a bit harsh, but I get the sense.
Well, I question who Joey is for not stepping
in
and diffusing the situation.
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine if I, you know, brought someone to a book club event and they were being ass out and insane and I was just like, and no one knew them and I was just like, oh, whatever, not my problem.
No, yeah,
it's 100% your problem. You brought them.
It's not great. And I couldn't tell if Erica knew Sarah or not, the way that she was trying to intervene.
Well, it was really weird, too, because basically, and I guess we won't see this until next week, but Amanda and Jeff leave, and it made it seem like Chanel was leaving. It's like, so, wait a minute, Erica, you're going to let all your actual friends leave this party, and all of the strangers who are causing trouble get to stay? Like, that also seemed weird.
I kind of wondered if she was friends with Sarah, too.
Maybe.
It was also interesting... Amanda screams at Erica and says, who the fuck do you think you are? You're not defending me. Valid point, but a harsh way to say it to someone who's hosting a party.
Yeah.
I also enjoyed that Erica says to the group, we're in old Brookville. If you have a problem and want to start a fight, get the fuck out.
This also makes me laugh hysterically because I technically grew up, well, I grew up in Olney. I always say I grew up in Olney, but I actually grew up in Brookville, not Brookville, Maryland, not Brookville, right. New York.
Yeah.
So all of this is making me laugh hysterically.
Yeah.
But I get where Amanda is coming from because I think the point she's coming from is it's your house, your party. These strangers are causing trouble. Why aren't you throwing them out? Which I was the same question I had. Like, why aren't these people being thrown out? If it was my party and this was happening, I would have thrown those people out.
Agreed. I do think Erica was trying. But as we know, Erica is she pours heavy.
Yeah.
And she did more than Joey. She tried to diffuse it and get people to go their separate ways and not ruin the night. She at least put in some effort.
She did. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think what Amanda was looking for was like, you have to get the fuck out.
Yeah.
This is my party. You have to leave.
Right. So then it's a hot mess and Jeff yells at everyone that they suck. Not just Sarah, everyone.
Everyone sucks.
Inaccurate.
Which, and then, Jeff, those are big words because every single other gentleman at this party could beat you into mush.
Yeah. And actually,
you would just be a big bowl of cheesecake.
He has every right to be mad about what happened with Sarah, but everybody else at the party, they were not egging her on. They didn't agree with her. Like,
no,
they didn't intervene maybe as much as they should have. But Ashley and Jeff were getting, Amanda and Jeff, sorry, these names, everybody was getting along. So don't yell at everybody because you're mad at one person. But then as the party is going bust and everybody's yelling at one another, Chanel ends the episode by saying, this is why we're all not married.
Yeah. So this season we get headbands, we get boats, we get penis hummus. We get sprinter vans, we get alcohol, we get bars, we get Jeff and Babs, we get ex-boyfriends, we get Joey's dad, who I think is hot. I need to see him a little better. We get crying and we get a wedding.
And we get Shabbat Shalom, go fuck yourself.
Yeah, Shabbat Shalom, go fuck yourself. We get that as well, too.
Ooh. Well, buckle up.
Buckle up. Yeah, I'm very happy to be back in the Bravoverse. I think that we're going to have a lot of fun watching and discussing this show, and we hope all of you are along with us for the ride.
Thanks for listening to another episode of One Hit Wonderful.
You can find us online on Twitter and Instagram at One Hit Pod. You can email us at franklymareb@gmail.com. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Nana's Mink.
And you can find me on Twitter at Hey, It's Mare B.
Please remember to rate and subscribe. And have a great week, guys. We'll talk to you soon.